good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. One more time. All right. Get your examination sheet out. Let's go with it right quick. If you don't have one, we're going to give you one here. Yeah, I got some more. Everybody got an examination sheet? You bright yours? Well, no, you ain't messed up. You the same one you got. Everybody got an examination sheet. All right. All right. So you hope you got a pencil. Are we going through the answers? Where'd John go? Tim, come on back up here. All right. Oh, talk about teaching class. Okay, I'm staying. Okay, then go. I'll just play. Oh, you need a sheet too. I'm sorry. All right, here you go. I'm with everybody, get your pencil. And we're going to run through these 20 questions. Because I know y'all got them. If I'm wrong, y'all let me know. Just look at me funny. All right? And we're going to begin our lesson for today. Examination time, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Hope you got that marked in your Bible. Read that 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see where you're in the faith unless you become disqualified. All right, everybody ready? Got your pencil. We're going to go ahead and begin. All right. All right. You ready? All right. Now, this is going to go in your book. All right. Here we go. What does Bible mean? Now, this is not biblical, but it sounds pretty good. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. You might want to write 2 Timothy 3, 16 by that. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God. How many books are there in the Old Testament? 66. What are the divisions of the Old Testament? Pentateuch. What are the five divisions of the Old Testament? What? I missed one. Oh, how many books in the Old Testament? 39. That's right. I'm looking at my glasses. Oh, man, that's the problem. All right, 39. Man, we got a lot of stuff to cover today. I'm so excited about the day, I don't know what to do. All right. I was talking about acting brothers back up to 9. All right, 39. Well, the five divisions of the Old Testament, you got the law of Pentateuch. Law of Pentateuch is in your book. It's in your book. Get your book out. I want you to see it. If you don't have that in your book, if you don't have a book, you need to get a book. All right? Here it is in your book. You got the law, the vision of the Old Testament. Everybody got that sheet? If you don't have that sheet, raise your hand. You need to get with somebody who has a book. Melanie, if you need to take my book home, I'll let you have my book to take it home. If you need to go downstairs between break and make copies of my book or what you don't have, we'll let you do that. But we want you to get caught up to date. All right, the five divisions of the law, the history, the poetry, the major and the minor prophets. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 books. All right? They're in your book. They're in your shop right there. You need to know that. You really need to know that. You need to memorize that. Not so much know all the books. That wouldn't help you. But I'm just talking to know the divisions, because when we get there, you understand that. All right. What did the word Genesis mean? Beginning, right? Genesis 1:1. Genesis, right? Genesis 1:1. What significance of Genesis 3:15 relate to Luke 19:10? Galatians 4:4, Luke 19:10 said Jesus came to seek and save that which law, based on, write that word about Genesis 3:15, promise. Promise. All right, fulfilled in Galatians 4:4. Now, there are many, many more scriptures that you can deal with that, which you can go through to give you a better understanding. All right? All right? Because of the sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden, you might want to write Genesis 2. All right? All this garden you may freely eat, but the tree of good and evil. Find that with that 17 to it. 2:17, right. You might want to write that there too. Genesis 2:17, 3:15 promise fulfilled. Galatians 4:4. What does the word patriarch mean? It means father. All right. And the patriarchs in the Old Testament will be Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now, there are many, many more that we know about, but those are the ones that are the key figure that mark the 50 chapters of the book of Genesis. All right. And the reason why, based on Genesis 12:1, you might want to note that the end thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. In relationship, write this down too, are fulfilling the prophecy of the seed. Seed promise, Genesis 12:1. It went through Adam, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Okay? In relationship to Genesis 4:4, you remember after Cain killed Abel, right? Seed was going to go through Abel, right? The devil thought he had won, right? But he blessed him with another son by the name of who? Seth. Okay? That's to give you a better understanding of what we're talking about and understanding that there. Okay? All right. All right. All right. What does the word Exodus mean? How long did the children of Israel stay in Egyptian bondage? Relate the meaning of the word bondage as an antitype. All right. The word Exodus means departure. Exodus 1:1. Some say they stayed there 400 years. Some say 415. I do know that if you go back and look at it, and it can't be precise, that Jacob's family moved to Egypt some 215 years from the promise of Genesis 12:1. And after that, they stayed another 215 years, so make it 430. So somewhere between 400 and 430. See, in relationship to being precise, I don't know. I don't know. See, but we do have a chart in your book to kind of give you an idea of what we're talking about. See, in relationship to that period of time, but somewhere about 400 to 430 years, I think would be a safe period. But the main thing for you to know and for me to understand is two things. The promise was made in Genesis 12:1, right? Famine came on the land, right? That's when Jacob then moved to Egypt, right? And they stayed there about 215 years from the promise of Genesis 12. And after they got there, because of the famine, they stayed another 215 years, approximately about 430. Okay? And that's the main thing you need to know. All right? That's the main thing you need to know. And the reason why you need to know that, because the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Joseph, all right, who had the beautiful coat, who was the favorite son, in Exodus chapter 1:1, that rose the king did not know Joseph. Okay, in relationship that did not know the children of Israel are the patriarchal age. Okay, and that's the thing that you need to know. Not so much how many days, I mean, you know, that's good to know, but you need to know why. Okay, and that's the mindset that we're talking about there. Okay, name the 10 plagues. They're in the book of Exodus. I'm not going to name all of them, but I will tell you that it began in Exodus 7:14. All right, and go through Exodus 11, 4 through 7, right? And the main one that I want you to really realize about is number 10, all right? And the reason why I want you to know that one is because that he told them to use this as a remembrance. If you go to 1 Corinthians 5, 7, all right, 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, all right, and these are scriptures that I want you to write down. 1 Corinthians 5, okay, and 7, Acts 12:3, Matthew 26:26-28, the institution of the Lord's Supper, all right, his crucifixion, Matthew 26:2, and John 18:28. But what I want you to see over in 1 Corinthians 5:7 is an antitype as a commemoration of Passover, especially Acts 12:2. See, it's mentioned that word Easter there, right? Okay? But that word means Passover. See, that is that last plague, the death of the firstborn. They had to put the blood post on the side post and the top post. And at midnight when the death angel came over and saw the blood, they passed them over, right? You understand what I'm saying? And that's what I want you to understand about that. And over in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, over 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, see, it talks about, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, right? That is, that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, and when we come in contact with the blood through the water of the grave, what? Baptism, blood purchased the church of Christ, amen, is an antitype between the old and the new. Y'all see that? In the Old Testament, they were what? Passed on, right? What saved them? What? Blood, right? What saved us today? Blood. What did the blood do? Blood washed away our what? What did the blood do? The blood purchased the what? Church. So see, that's another point you need to see. Well, if the blood purchased the church, the blood saved us, well, why would you want to be in another church that was not purchased with the blood? Because you can't be passed over, right? Y'all remember back then when that death overcame it over at midnight? What happened when they didn't see the blood? They died, didn't they? Because all those who were saved because of the blood. They was obedient, did what God was told them to do. Am I right? Well, that's the same thing today. See, Romans 6 says, we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ through the water grave of what? Baptism. Am I right? And because of that, we are passed over. That is, that we are translated or we are delivered because of the power of the blood. Y'all see, to understand what I'm saying? See, in relationship, to understand. See, that's really why 1 John 5:13, these things render we may what? See, that's really why these are so important. I'm telling you, you understand this here, boy, you're going to be so much ahead of everybody else. But most people don't understand that. Go ahead, brother. 12:4, yeah. Acts 12:4. All right, y'all got that? So you should have 1 Corinthians 5, 7, Acts 12, 4, Matthew 26, 26 to 28, Matthew 26, 2, and John 18, 28. Do I need to say them again? I said them too fast. Okay, in relationship to that question. We're doing these questions. Y'all have a sheet. There you go. Okay, there you go. All right. Y'all got that? Okay. All right. Then we talked about bondage, didn't we? Yeah. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Acts 12, 4. Matthew 26, 26 to 28. And by the way, this is question number 8. Matthew 26, 2, John 18, 28, right? All right. And I even write Romans 6, 1 through 4. See, write that down there too, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Okay? And that word bondage means slave. We're slaves to sin. Amen. And see, that's what happened. When you are not passed over, when you're not saved by the blood, we become bondage to what? And eventually we're going to see sin bring forth what? See, and that's the point that we need to see. Number 9, why is the book of Leviticus important about Jesus being our high priest and we being priests? Well, it's important because, and I want you to write this down, Genesis 14, 18 talked about Jesus being a priest according to Melchizedek. Right? Now go to Hebrews with me right quick. We'll share some verses with you. And this is what you need to write down. Hebrews 6:20. Hebrews 7:1-2. And that's many, many more. Amen. But this is just to get us started. Amen. Hebrews 6:20, because Jesus was a high priest according to Melchizedek. Am I right? See, Hebrews 6:20, it says, wherefore the forerunner is for us. In it, even Jesus made a high priest, right? Forever after the order of what? Melchizedek. So what you need to do, if I was you, I'd go to Genesis 14, 18 in the patriarchal book, right? And I just denote Hebrews 6:20. Right? And I write Hebrews 7:1. Okay? In relationship, why Jesus entered in once and for all, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, right? And he shed blood, right? And therefore, because of that anointing, that is, by him being the anointed one, the chosen one, the word anointed means chosen one, amen. So now people say, well, I got an anointment. You can't have an anointment, amen. Because Jesus anointed one time, right? He went into the Holy of Holies one time, right? And he shed blood. He offered that blood one time on the cross, am I right? See, that is, that he could be a high priest according to Melchizedek. Now, that would be a good study. To watch the high priest through the patriarchal age, through the law of Moses, and bring it all the way to grace and truth. Did y'all understand what I'm saying? See, watching how the high priest come all the way to Jesus being the ultimate high priest. Amen. Amen. In relationship to fulfilling God's will so that he can be our Passover, right? Y'all got it? See, so just go sometime and Google that word high priest and watch it. From Genesis chapter 14 to 8 to the order of Melchizedek. And the reason why I had to go back to Melchizedek, because the blood had to go all the way back there. Y'all with me? See, the blood had to go all the way back to Adam. Amen. You understand? So he had to pick up the patriarchy. He didn't just start under the law. He had to go all the way back. Am I right? See, over in Hebrews 7:1, see, here's something that's what I want you to see. Hebrews 7:1, because we see this all the time with the denomination of people. Is it with this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a what? Tenth part of all. Amen. See, people say, I tithe. Well, do you tithe everything? See, tithing was just money. Tithe was a tenth of everything you were. So if you're going to tithe, let's do it the way the Bible did it. Amen. Am I right? See, just don't tithe just 10% of what you earn. See, if you're going to do it right. See, if I'm going to believe the Old Testament and you're going to believe that to be right and you're going to be judged by it, at least do it right. Now, you may be wrong. You are wrong. Amen. Because that's been nailed to the cross. Amen. But if you're going to live by the law, well, live by the law. You're going to live on the patriarchy, live on the patriarchy. Don't just pick out what you want and leave it alone. And I pull that out right there because people say, well, you're blessed when you tithe. People talk about prosperity the gospel. Well, you're blessed when you give by tithing. Well, if you're going to tithe, do the way the Bible says do it. Amen. Am I right? But we know, 1 Corinthians 16, we lay by and store if we would. Prosper, okay? All right. Yes, sir. Yeah, add Hebrews 9:12. Okay? All right. Anybody? Hebrews 9:12. All right? The whole book of Hebrew, man, I'm telling you, from 6 all the way through, just read the whole thing, man. You see so many more. Like I said, there's just a few. Because, see, what they wanted to do is go back to the law. He tried to defend the law and said, why do you want to go back? Because we have a high priest greater than Melchizedek. Amen. Amen. Y'all trying to hold on to the blood of bulls and goats. We got a high priest that enter in once and for all. You ain't never got to go back that way no more. Amen. And guess what? Peter said it makes all us what? Priests. Am I right? But Hebrews 9:12, 1 Peter 2:9, write that down. 1 Peter 2:9. Okay? All right? And tie that in because over in Hebrews 9:12, it said neither by the blood of goats and calves by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place, having eternal redemption for what? Us all. Y'all see what I'm saying? See, so what you're doing now, you got Genesis 14:18, right? You got Hebrews 6:20, right? Tie it into Hebrews 9:12, right? And then tie it into 1 Peter 2:9, because 1 Peter 2:9 is simply saying what John said over here in Hebrews 12:9, because he entered the holy place once. See, he obtained eternal redemption for us all. So therefore, now we all are priests. Amen. Why? Because Romans 8:16, 17, guess what, y'all? We are heirs of God and we're joint heirs of what? That benefits, am I right? And if that don't make you happy, something wrong with you. Ain't that right? You said part of the royal priesthood. that makes us peculiar. Am I right? Am I right? Come on, y'all. But see, if you don't understand this, see, that's the reason why. He said, well, why he wants us to know the division of the Old Testament? See, if you don't know that, if you don't understand how that worked and how you can tie all that in, see, even just with Melchizedek, right, in relation, why did he have to go all the way back to the beginning? Well, because sin was in the beginning. Am I right? See, he always used that. Even on that concept, Timothy used, he said, so said the law, didn't he? You know, the reason why women got to keep silent, so said the law, right? He went all the way back to what? To the beginning, am I right? He said, God once said that man going to rule over you, and you're going to be in subjection to man. Isn't that what he said? He said, that's the reason why in the church now, you got to what? Learn in silence. You got to be in subjection. Am I right? See, like Sean said, well, they don't want to be in subjection, but they can't do nothing with having babies. Y'all understand? See, he said you're going to have pain in childbirth. Why you ain't change that? Am I right? All right, I'm going to leave that alone. Go ahead, bro. Yeah, right there.
It's red.
Huh. Is it on that? Come on, talk.
All I want to say is that... To wrap it up, in one thing, that word remnant means that only a few going to get it. Not that, you know, everybody can get it, but the word remnant means that even though all of the people that was chosen, all of them didn't qualify, just like today in the Lord's church. All of us don't qualify because we don't make ourselves qualified. But what you're teaching us, brother teacher, is what help us to be qualified. The rest of it is on us. The onus on us to become qualified. That's right. All that word remnant means. That mean people don't understand what the word remnant mean. That only a few gonna really get it. That's all I want to say.
Well, you can't blame God the Father.
That's what I'm saying.
Am I right?
That's what you.
We talk about that on Wednesday night, right? You can't blame God the Son, right? So he say, don't believe on me, but believe on me, on the one who what sent me. Am I right? So when you go to 1 John 5, see, in about 7 to 8, see, because God the Father sent the Son, so the Son sent the Holy Spirit, right? So you can't blame God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because they all done they were. So if we lost, who to be blamed?
Me, you.
See, you got the perfect law of liberty, amen. Guess what, folks? If this Bible has some perfection, none of us will have hope. Because it's perfect, now we have hope, amen. That's the reason why over there in Hebrews 9:12, he said for the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. But now we have a one who went in one time. And he offered the blood. You understand what I'm saying? That the same blood of the Passover. Am I right? See, that's why every Lord Day we commemorate, don't we? See, we commemorate. See, y'all don't understand this. See, that's the significance of when the whole church come together in one place. Why? Because we know every week going to have a first day. And so therefore, you tell me what's more important than being here on this day. If you understand what's going to happen. Am I right? See, everybody don't have this right, but us, am I right? So what's more important? What is more prioritized? What is more important than when we come together on the first day of the week to do all five items of worship? Nothing. And one of them is to celebrate the Passover. Am I right? Through the Lord's Supper, am I right? Am I right? He told him, so you won't drink this with me no more until you drink it anew in my Father's kingdom. Did they do it on the day of Pentecost? See, Acts 2:42. When they did, when the whole church came together in one place. So my point is, see, if we notice and we do notice, because the Bible said that with 1 Corinthians 11, right? And because we notice it, it's my fault if you don't come. Is it my fault if you don't want to go to heaven? Amen. You can't blame me because God done everything he possibly can. Am I right? And that's what you're talking about. Yeah, it's going to be a remnant. That means a part of the whole. See, that's a part of the whole. Well, it don't have to be a part of the whole. It can be the whole. If it want to be. Because he died for everybody. Am I right? Jew, Gentile, bond, free. Am I right? He just didn't die for a sec. He died for everybody, am I right? But it's a choice you have to make. But see, that choice begins with mindset. That's the reason why we're going through this list. You say, well, why he going through all this? Let's teach the class. Well, see, if I teach the class and you don't know this here, you're not going to get the class. Because, see, what's going to happen is you don't know why. James saying, submit, resist. See, draw. See, humble yourself so you can be exalted. Because, see, you're not going to understand why you need the blood. You understand what I'm saying? The reason why you're not going to understand is because, see, you're so wrapped up in the flesh. Am I right? You're so wrapped in what you got. Ain't nothing wrong with what you got as long as you don't put what you got over Jesus. Amen. Am I right? See, if you got to do something today to keep what you got, well, you understand the Passover. Amen. You missed it. See, so you use that word remnant. Yeah, it's going to be a remnant. It was a remnant in Israel going into the promised land. Amen. You're going to see over 600,000 people, men, 20,000 women and children. But they all didn't get in. Am I right? Now, they all started, but they all didn't get in. Am I right? Ain't that something? See? So you can't blame, you know, God the Father, God the Son. And that's the reason why you got to know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua. So you got to know what they mean and what significance they have in relationship to the right of divine God's word. And that's the point that you need to see. All right. All right. Man, man, man. All right. Let's go a little further here. Number, where we at? 10. What was the census number? Okay, I told you the census number, number 26, 51, 66, all right? And then my say is 624,730. What number you have? 624,730. Yes. Okay. The reason why I say that, you start out with like 600 men. See, it caught all men over 21 first, didn't it? See, that's what they chose first, right? Now, you had other children and men that went too, and that made the difference up. Okay? Somewhere around there, what you get? Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what we're talking about, started out. Okay. Yeah, Joshua and Caleb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're in the end. Yeah. You're right. You're right. So they start out, how many? 624,000. And then how many really in the end? 23,000, right? And then only two really went in, right? Joshua and Caleb. Y'all got that. Okay? That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. Well, I should have wrote the question, how many in the end, and how many went in, and how many really got in. That's where you need to see it. Amen? That's where you need to see it. Yeah, start out by 620,000 plus, and then only 23,000 really went in, and only two. Who didn't go in for what he did? The Rock. Okay. Oh. Well, y'all got that before he go there. Number 26, 51 to 66. You need to read that, mark that. And this right here, this will start out, that will end, and then Joshua and Caleb, the only one that really did end.
Right.
All right. Go ahead, bro, right quick.
Well, see, you know, everybody said that Moses hit the rock. But when you're reading Psalms 10, I think it's 108, and I forget exactly. I got it written down at home. But the Bible says that he misspoke, and his misspeaking, he renamed God's people by saying, first of all, before he said that, was, must we, talking about him and Aaron, bring forth water out of this rock, out of this, provide water for, out of this for you rebels. And he shouldn't have never done that.
Yeah.
So he misspoke. And all the people say he struck the rock, but what he did was the same thing that we do. We get angry, we get hostile, and we say something we shouldn't say. And God said, well, since you didn't glorify me,
mm-hmm.
see, because you put everything we do, teaching, preaching, praying, serving, whatever it is in our life, husband, wife, children, whatever.
Right.
We're supposed to give glory and honor to God.
That's
if we don't do it, then we're going to be held accountable. And God is the only one who can hold us accountable the way he did Moses.
Well,
so we got to keep that in mind.
Let's put it this way. He sinned.
Yeah, he did. He sinned.
He disobeyed God.
Well, Numbers 20 and
yeah.
I think it's Numbers 20 and 6.
Okay, and that's it. Okay, let's move on. How many books are there in the New Testament? 39, right? 27, right? 27. The vision of the New Testament, get your book out again. Here we go. Get your book out. And read where I'm going here, man. This is valuable to you. Flip it over. Here it is. You got the visions. The New Testament, right? Here you go. History. My history. The Gospels. The history. The epistles and the book of prophecy, okay? And those are the visions, and that's the vision that you need to know of there in relationship to understanding what we need to know, okay? All right, next question. And we broke that down, right? You got that right. Number 12, right? And then number 13, you got those five down? You got them down? Anybody want to give them to a John? Submit. Resist. All right, it begins in James 4:7. It ends up in James 4:10. All right. Submit, resist, draw, to be humble, to be exalted. What is this one? What? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, say them then. How you were saying? Well, let me ask you a question. You submit, resist, and draw. You got to cleanse before you can draw, right? Yeah, I understand that. See, that mindset, we're trying to develop a mindset. See, if you don't cleanse or purify your soul, you're not going to submit. Right? So you got to get your mind thought. You got to be not conformed, but you got to be transformed, right? To be able to submit, to resist. See, if your mindset ain't right, you're not going to resist. If you don't resist, you ain't going to draw, right? See, people who don't submit don't understand the importance of Bible class. Or they don't understand the importance of worship. Or they don't understand the importance when the whole church comes together. Am I right? You got to get your mind right first. Am I right? Am I right? See, when I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning, amen, all that was on my mind was the Lord day. I ain't have nothing else on my mind. See, my mind was getting up, getting my family ready to be here. I started shaking. I started going to room, beating doors. Get up. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because that's my responsibility by being the head of the family. Amen. Because it's the Lord's day. Amen. It wasn't going to, nothing going to stop me from being here. I got in my truck at 9. They weren't ready. I put it off at 9:15. Whether you got in or not. You say, that's cold hard. No. No. No, I got a soul to save, amen. And that's the way you got to think, amen. But see, you can't think that way, you can't draw that way, number one, if you don't submit. See, the problem is, we ain't cleansing to submit. You got to cleanse the temple. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit ain't going to get in there if you don't cleanse it out, amen. And guess what? That's what we're doing, examining right now, amen. You're cleansing out the flesh, amen. Now, just what I just said, see, you need to be taking what I just said, either I'm lying or using it for examination. Amen. I'm serious. Because for every action, there's a reaction. Amen. Things just don't happen for a reason. It got to be a reason. But the problem is, we don't want to see the reason. That's cleansing, am I right? See? You say, well, my kid's bad. Well, why are they bad? You need to be trying to find out why. Amen. Whose fault it is? What can you do to correct it? Just don't sit there and say it and don't do nothing about it. That's what the problem with the world today. Nobody want to face reality. Nobody don't want to claim up to nothing. Want to blame everybody else for your shortcoming. If you broke, well, it's a reason for being broke. Am I right? I told my wife the other day, I said, we going to do it. I don't care if I got to get out here and pick up cans. I don't care what I got to do to get it done. But I'll be dog my cat that I'm going to be controlled by somebody, other people. And I mean that. I may have been eating hamburger two or three times a week. I may have to go back to bologna. Do what you got to do until you can do better. But you got to realize what the problem is to correct it. But you got to cleanse it. You can't be conformed. You got to be transformed. Why do you think we're giving these books out? Why do you think we're taking time to do this here? The Bible class always over. We ain't here, James. Well, see, James ain't important until you understand this. There's so much confusion in the church today. Because of ignorance. I'm telling you, people just don't teach no more. I was telling somebody the other day, I wish I could get rid of these pews. Put tables in here. You know why? Because this is a working process where you can put your books in your Bible and stretch out, kick your shoes off if you want to. Amen. God, this is a working process. Y'all sit here trying to write, you, books falling everywhere. You try to reach and grab them. You missing what I'm saying? Man, this is important. Amen. This is a work in progress. When you come here, I don't care when you come in, we're going to be teaching. We're going to be doing it. How many times you hear me repeat the same thing over and over again? Somebody said, you really don't learn until you hear it six times. See, somebody said, that speech man said, I'm taking a speech class. He said, practice speech six times before you get here. He said, I know where you've been practicing because the way you deliver. So what you put in, what you what? See? He said, a lot of times when you read, he said, read out loud because you read silent, see, you don't comprehend. But when you hear the words again, you comprehend better. Now, I don't know where it's true, but I've been reading out loud. Am I comprehending it more? I think I am. You understand what I'm saying? So repetition, that's the point that I'm saying, and that's the reason why this sheet is so important. Not so much as important, but you understand what's on it. Amen. And that's the point that we're saying. Okay? Let's move on a little bit further. Okay? So, yeah, put cleanse in there. Number four thing, give a reason why you know that you can count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Well, go to James right quick and let's see. Very quickly. Now, I'm not going to stop. If you got to go, go. I know some of you got to go pick people up, but I'm going to keep on going. Okay? All right? I wish we could start at 9 o'clock. Some of y'all shake your head. Getting the response. Why? Give a reason why you know that you can count all joy when you fall and die. Go with you, Brother Freddie. What? Give me a reason why. Huh? Johnny, one what? Give me a reason, bro. All right. What you say? What you say, John? John 1:3. Yeah, knowing this, that the trial of your faith work at what? Patient. All right, number four, right? See, you know when you count all joy. See, when you let patience have a perfect work that you may be what? Those three words, write them down. Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. See, when your life gets to the point that you can be perfect, that is, that word don't mean you're perfect, that means you're growing toward perfection. You're maturing, amen. That entire, you got it together. Because whatever state you find yourself in, be content. Right, Philippians 4:11, right? Wanting nothing, amen. We sung this song, the world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, amen. See, that's when you know you can count all joy. See, that's the point that I'm saying. So 3 and 4 would be good. All right, right there. All right, explain what it means to be double-minded, James 1:8. Double-minded simply means you got a double spirit. See, Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two masters. Am I right? Double-minded simply is a person who's serving both sides of the fence, the flesh and the spirit. See, unstable in all his ways because you're double-minded. You're unstable in all your ways, which simply mean because number two or number three that you don't know that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Why? Because you ain't got the mindset, right? See, when you ain't got the mindset, you don't know what to do. Am I right? See, let me tell you something. Every Christian should be able to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. Amen. Nobody should never come in your faith and try to talk you against the word when you know the word. Amen. Some of your friends may say, well, I don't understand what they're doing on that foul part. Well, it ain't your business to understand. See, your business to understand was in the word. Every man got the badge on what? Am I right? But see, you should be able to stand up to truth. Because you know, right? Am I right? That the trial of your faith worketh what? See, and when you get perfection, see, number one, you're going to mature, you're going to entire, and then, see, number three, you ain't going to want nothing. Then you ain't going to be double-minded, right? And then you ain't going to be unstable. See, unstable people accept anything. You see people say, man, we had a good time at church. But what did the preacher talk about? But we had a good time. See, they call it something that don't have no what substance. Am I right? See, call it things that don't have no substance. They ain't no good when they got no substance, right? See, they cause you to be what? Double-minded and unstable. See, you ever seen people who are fickle? See, and y'all say, I don't know what the hell wrong with that person. Yes, you do. The hell in him. You ever seen people say that? I don't know what's wrong with my wife. I don't know what's wrong with my husband. I do. You're acting a fool. The devil in him. Amen. Can't be no other way, am I right? He's double-minded, am I right? Y'all seen people say that? What's wrong with him? He needs some help, he sure do. He needs Jesus. He needs a perfect, am I right? He needs to quit trying to serve two masters, am I right? Because it ain't going to happen. Y'all with me? Because an unstable person, the wind blow him in the way he want to go. See, why you think commercialization, advertisement is so important? Because they know, McDonald's know, Arby's, I've been saying that all week. I've been telling my wife, I want me two of them fish sandwiches. But they closed the Arby's right here in Five Points. They closed it down. I was out on 280 the other day. I had to go find the Summit. I didn't know where the Summit was. Somebody tried to tell me where the Summit was. And I got all the way on the right lane. I said, well, there it is. And the traffic five lanes over. Had to turn over the bell so I'd be able to turn back around, get back in. Got in the Summit. Didn't know where I was looking for. You know, but anyway, to make a long story short, come on back home, those commercials on my mind. Those two fish sandwiches for $4. I've been seeing them all week. I said, where is the Arby's? Someone say, well, one downtown on 7th Avenue, south. So I'm going to get off the exit, to get down there to get my sandwich, then got turned around again over in North Birmingham. So I said, forget that. Then Doris said, Shante said, well, one in Hewittown, and get where I still ain't got. But I still see the commercial. It affects my mindset. And that's the reason why they show commercials all the time. The reason why they advertise all the time. So they advertise anything and everything. Because they want to control your mindset, right? Amen. See, they want to control you, make you want you to desire, want you to lust that pride of life, 1 John 2:15. See, they want you to have these things. But see, knowing this, that the trial of your faith working what? Patience. So that you don't be double-minded, amen. But guess what, Melanie? I got home, and my wife gave me a nice big old ham sandwich and a glass of tea and some potato chips, and I ate it, and guess what happened? I got full. Still had $4
still in your pocket.
And 40 cents in my pocket. But it's mindset, y'all know what I'm saying? But when you don't know, and that's the problem. People don't know how many books in the Bible, how many books in the Old Testament, how many in the New Testament. They can't write a divide. They don't know what we're talking about. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. No, they don't know these things. And when you don't know these things, what happens? Mm-hmm. See, you become double-minded. Amen. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Am I right? It begins right here, folks. See, like Kathy told me the other day, Aunt Sally, please excuse, what is it? My dear Aunt Sally, I didn't know what she was talking about. She sure helped me out this week. But see, I didn't know it, Sean. P stands for parenthesis. I just didn't know that. I just didn't know it. That man done writing on the board. You know, they got them boards that they write with a computer. I don't know how they be doing it. Small boy, that's what it's called. He all over the board, ready with his hand. He raised it too fast. I'm still trying to figure out. It's gone. But anyway, but I just didn't have it.
But see, could you add Revelation? A good commentary on that is Revelations, I put down 3:16.
Okay.
Jesus said, I would that you was either cold or hot.
Yes, right.
But if you lukewarm, which is double-minded, I'll spew you out of
spew you out your mouth. Double-minded. Okay. Revelation 3:16.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we're going to put Matthew 6. It's 23 or 24. You can't serve two masters.
6:24.
Okay. And that's it. All right. Man. Next week, we'll pick up the rest. Y'all got this so far?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is he pretty good?
He was very
Let me
good.
Give you your new sheet.